and bid you welcome first and express my appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning. I know we have some company with us, so I ask my brethren to kind of look around and please share. I'm going to anticipate or be presumptuous thinking you'd like to follow along. That may not be the case. But the title is, I've been going lessons on influence. One of those first lessons says that we all have it. Some good and some bad influence. But you can't escape the idea that you're going to have an influence on someone else. So the lesson last week was on influence after we die. It keeps going. Today's lesson is just influence that fortifies one another. Fortification of one another. Build each other up. In the text that was read to us, it says everyone helped his neighbor. Oh, influence. And they said to his brother, be of good courage. Lord, I want you to influence one another. Be of good courage. The craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. Yeah. And he that smoothed the smooth with the hammer inspired him that struck the anvil. Yeah. And then they said, it's ready for the soldering or the welding. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter or tip over. In the text, there's some words that I highlighted in your notes just to illustrate ways that we can influence one another. First thing it said in the text was speak. I want you to say words to each other. Influence one another to be of good courage. Then that said, each one encouraged the other worker. Fired. Then it says, then he fastened. Oh, don't just say words of encouragement. Help each other out. Influence each other by the things that you say and by the things that you do. Help each other. By the definition of influence, I put it in your notes again. To produce an effect on another without apparent force. You see, you're going to influence somebody all the time without force. You're influencing people right now. People behind you, beside you. And when we talk about influence or being fortifying one another or strengthening one another, by definition, I want your influence to be exactly that. I'd like for you to refresh each other, reinforce, invigorate. By definition, if you're going to fortify, it means that you're going to provide support. You're going to toughen each other up, influence each other in that way. Inspire, enrich, make better. Influence one another is the lesson today. You know, right before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he gave these last words in Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18. So here the disciples are gathered around Jesus. He's about to leave. Jesus, what do you have to say? What are the last words you're going to give to us? And so he gives these influential, encouraging words. Fortifying words. He begins by saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. If I'm a disciple of Jesus and he's about to leave, I want to hear that. Jesus, you have all the authority in heaven and on earth. And then he gives them the instruction, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Okay, I can do that. Because you have all the authority. All right, I'm going to go and make disciples of all the nations. How? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father by the authority of heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he doesn't leave them there. He says, now I want you to add this. I want you to teach them In other words, fortify, strengthen, build up, encourage, brace them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Okay, I can do that too. And then he gives them that word of encouragement again. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Ah. We have an example of the disciples following that admonition. When Paul and Barnabas go on their missionary journeys, in Acts chapter 14, verse 21, it's recorded, and I put this in your notes. But it says, when they, meaning Paul and Barnabas, had preached the gospel to that city, made many disciples. Oh, that's a good thing. They made the disciples. They baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now what are you going to do, Paul and Barnabas? It says, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Well, wasn't it good that you just made disciples? Well, that was good. But there's more. I'm going to go, now that I've left, I'm going to go back and strengthen them. Build them up. Encourage. Fortify. I want to influence them to stay the course. I want to influence them to continue in the faith. Yeah. That's what I want to do. So you see, after we obey the gospel, after we've been baptized for our remission of sins, our task is not finished. Now the obligation is to strengthen and fortify one another, those who sit beside us and in front of us and behind us need to do that. Everyone's in need. I put this in your notes too, just to illustrate this. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Lord said to Simon, meaning Simon Peter, I prayed for you. This is Simon Peter, the disciple, the apostle. This is the one that brought Andrew, his brother, to Jesus. Simon, you think Simon Peter needs strengthening, encouraging? Yeah. Jesus, I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, Jesus is foretelling Simon, you're going to deny me, but he doesn't think so. So Jesus says, now, but when you return to me, I want you to strengthen your brethren. So who needs to be built up? Simon Peter? Yeah. An apostle? Does an apostle need to be built up? Yeah. And brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Right? In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. I think the weak need to be fortified. We who are strong, support, brace, invigorate, reinforce the weak. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Think people have burdens? I'm not bad with show of hands. Think we have burdens. It means to support. If you're going to bear someone's burdens, hold them up. They have to carry them for a moment. You have to serve. You have to be there. Influence, fortify, strengthen. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore comfort each other. Anybody here need comfort? Edify one another, just as you're doing. Exhort, brethren, comfort the faint-hearted. You think there's somebody that needs encouraging and comfort? Uphold the weak. Be patient, and just in case somebody thinks, well, he didn't mention me. Be patient with all. That's everything. Think I don't need strengthening sometimes? Think I don't need support? Encouragement? In Proverbs 24, verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You see, hard times or difficult times will either strengthen us or weaken us. And when people are experiencing difficult or hard times, we who are strong need to support those who are weak and help them out. We need to be an influence of strength to those who maybe they're going through a difficult heart or hard time and their faith is wavering. Let me help you. Let me rally to your side. Call me, but I'm going to call you because I know you're already in hard shape. Strengthen those who have troubles. You know anyone that's experiencing death? Yeah. In our announcements this morning, Martha's brother-in-law passed away Friday night. I think Martha over here doesn't need support. You know anybody going through illness? Who's in our announcements too? Think Louis Vagabond doesn't need help? A word of encouragement? Susan Burchett, Jim, you know anybody that's going through illness? It's in our bulletin. Family or job problems? They need support, don't they? Need to be strengthened. They've been baptized. Now we need to fortify them. Can you think of somebody now that you need to fortify? So I put in your notes some ways to fortify, to help. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, it says, let's pursue. No, if you're going to pursue something, you better chase. It means you're going to chase after it. You're going to go and keep going. You're going to pursue. Don't give up too soon. Pursue the things that make for peace. And the things by which we may edify one another. Give it some effort in supporting one another. Here's what you can do. I've listed these in your bulletin. Think about six things. James 8, verse 1. Love edifies. Brian, how can I edify or fortify one another? Love them. Love them. By definition, love means you're going to seek the best for another. What do you need? How can I help you? Love seeks the best for another. Love edifies. Number two, use words that lift them up. In Joshua, who took over for Moses in leading the children of Israel in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 3, verse 28, that Moses tells the people, command Joshua, or speak to Joshua, and encourage him. And the next phrase is strengthen him. For he shall go before his people. He'll cause them to inherit the land. Oh, Joshua's going to lead the people. Think a leader doesn't need encouragement? Yeah, speak to Joshua. Use words of encouragement. In Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, don't fear. Think words don't build up. So in our love for one another, say the right things that, let me get that for you. What do you need? In Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul gave the admonition, don't have any corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but do that which is good for edifying or building up. Use words that encourage. Number three is teach each other God's word. Because knowledge is comforting. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace to build you up. God's word. So I'm going to love. I want to say the right thing. I want to be sure you know something about God's word because it has the ability to build you up. You can do it. Number four, I want to encourage attendance and participation in the worship assembly. You didn't think I was going to leave out assembly, did you? John chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus said it himself, God is spirit. those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You must worship. Worship assembly not only has an obligation, but there's an opportunity for us to encourage one another. I'd rather speak for just a few minutes, 20 minutes, and encourage, give you encouraging words than try to go house to house. That'd take me 20 days. So while you're here, I have opportunity to give you encouraging words. You have an opportunity to give me encouraging words and those who sit beside you and around you. Assembly. Value of assembly. Number five is just pray. In Psalm 138, verse 3, In the day when I cried out, you answered me, meaning God, and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the list. You think, well, Brian, I don't know what to do to strengthen or encourage one another. I'm going to love them. I'm going to say encouraging words. I'm going to be sure they have knowledge of God's word. I'm going to encourage attendance in the worship assembly, and I'm going to pray because praying strengthens the soul. It's right in the verse. And then last, remind each other that our strength is in the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Our strength is in the Lord. Don't give up on God. Don't forsake God. Not now. Not in the time of adversity, not in the time of trouble, not in the time of trials. No. Not then. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19, in love we do all things for your edification. All that we do, even in having a worship assembly, by design, one thing is to encourage each other, especially when we feel bad or we're going through hardships. There's an opportunity here to lift each other up. Always at the close of a lesson, you know, the thing that is, you have that influence in each other. And don't think just, well, Brian, I don't stand up here and lead in the assembly in any way. You have an influence. Did you know that somebody is looking for you every time we assemble? Somebody's looking for you to be here. Me. I'm looking for you. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's an invitation for you to become a child of God if you have not done so already. When the church was established in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the apostles are in Jerusalem and they're preaching to devout Jews from every nation. And Peter's sermon or part of his message is recorded. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, Peter convinces or convicts his people in his audience. You by wicked hands have slain, he says that, you've killed the Son of God. In verse 36, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. The next verse says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They convinced, we crucified the Christ. We've murdered the Messiah. And so they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Any response on my part? Peter, in essence, says yes. In verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of heaven, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because to you is the promise and to your children and to many as are far off, generation later, even us 2,000 years later, the promise is to us, to our children.